It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
It's great to be back with you, friends, in the studio here in our hidden location somewhere outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. You can email me at Dr. Brown. That's drbrown at askdrbrown.org. Is it appropriate for a TV news commentator to tell a public figure that he needs Jesus? More specifically, is it appropriate for a public news figure to tell someone who is the practitioner of another religion, however superficially or seriously, to tell that practitioner of another religion that he or she needs Jesus and that true redemption is only found in the gospel? True forgiveness, true transformation is only found in the gospel. I wasn't able to get to this story last week, but it's so interesting. And then some of the flack surrounding it, and then some of the people speaking out in favor of it, it's been so fascinating to follow this. I want to talk to you about this and get your feedback. I was amazed by some of the comments, some of the columns written after this. If you don't know what I'm talking about, let me go right to the soundbite. This is Bill O'Reilly talking to Britt Hume, and Britt Hume had some interesting comments, so this clip goes back about 6 days. It was a few days before that. I'm going to play a segment, talk about it, and then come back because it gets even more amazing. Take a listen.
Now, on Fox News Sunday, you got into a subject that was pretty interesting. It's non-political. It's a social embarrassment for Tiger Woods. And you said this about Mr. Woods. Roll the tape.
He's said to be a Buddhist. I don't think that faith offers the kind of forgiveness and redemption that is offered by the Christian faith. So my message to Tiger would be, Tiger, turn your faith, turn to the Christian faith, and you can make a total recovery and be a great example to the world.
Was that proselytizing?
I don't think so. I mean, look, Tiger Woods is somebody I've always rooted for as a golfer and as a man. I've greatly admired him over the years, and I always have said to people that it was the content of his character that made him, beyond his extraordinary golf skills, so admirable. Now we know that the content of his character was not what we thought it was. He is paying a frightful price for these revelations. My sense is that he has basically lost his family. And you know, there's a lot of talk about the endorsements he's lost, but that pales, I suspect, in his mind with what he's lost otherwise. And my sense about Tiger is that he needs something that Christianity especially provides and gives and offers, and that is redemption and forgiveness. And I was really meaning to say in those comments yesterday more about Christianity than I was about anything else. I mentioned the Buddhism only because his mother is a Buddhist and he has apparently said that he is a Buddhist. I'm not sure how seriously he practices that. But I think that Jesus Christ offers Tiger Woods something that Tiger Woods badly needs.
All right. Amazing comments, for sure. Absolutely amazing comments. I want to play a little bit more of the clip as we go on. But the question is that appropriate? It was Fox News Sunday. You might say, hey, as a believer, I think it's awesome. You preach the gospel in any setting. Okay, how would you have felt if someone recommended Buddhism to a Christian who went through a terrible scandal and a professing Christian or someone at least associated on some level with Christianity? And maybe a commentator said what he really needs or what she really needs is Buddhism, because Buddhism alone can give that inner tranquility. Or perhaps someone said what that person really needs is Hinduism, because that'll give them a better shot in the life to come. Or perhaps they said, look, Islam alone will bring the moral discipline that, say, what Tiger Woods needs. Would you say, well, that's just fine. It's free society, free world. People can talk about what they want to talk about. Or would you say, but no, look, the vast majority of Americans still profess Christianity, like 3/4 of Americans still profess to be Christians. at least three quarters. So it's different. You're comparing apples with oranges. Look at some of the responses to this. 866-34-TRUTH. And it gets more interesting. There's a whole lot more to this story. 866-348-7884. Washington Post, Tom Shales demanded that Britt Hume apologize, saying he had, quote, dissed about a half billion Buddhists on the planet. Apparently, Britt Hume had a gay son who committed suicide. That was one of the things that moved him to come to faith. At least that's what I read. I'm not an expert on Britt Hume's personal story. It may be out there, but I'm not an expert on that. So Tom Shales, Washington Post, demanded that Hume apologize, saying he had dissed about a half billion Buddhists on the planet. MSNBC, David Schuster, invoked the separation of church and television concept, saying that he brought this up, quote, out of the blue on a political talk show. Let's see some other comments here. MSNBC, Keith Olbermann, said that spoke of Hume attempting to threaten Tiger Woods into converting to Christianity, and demanded that Fox News keep religious advocacy out of public life. Olbermann then compared Hume to a terrorist on some level, suggesting that the worst example of this kind of proselytizing are jihadists. And then he added, okay, a little bit more. We don't need to get into that. Was the firestorm of controversy justified? Is that just because the world hates the gospel? The world hates Jesus? And when you have a respected newscaster like Britt Hume on a major cable news network like Fox News saying Tiger Woods needs Christianity, is it just a matter of the gospel is hated and Jesus is increasingly marginalized by the left in our society, and therefore if you dare point in his direction, there's going to be all kinds of hostility? Or would have been the same? You think there would have been the same kind of hostility if someone who was a Buddhist on the show, or someone who's a Muslim on the show, or a Hindu or something else, suggested just in the midst of a news show, you know, I hate to see what happened to Tiger Woods. It's really miserable. It's really painful. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I think Islam is the best way because of what it offers. 866-34-TRUTH. The column that was the most interesting to me was Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods. Listen, the Ann Coulter column about this, about the whole situation, was, I said Tiger Woods, I meant to say Ann Coulter. She comes out preaching the gospel. Now, look, I have real issues with the tone and style and approach of some of her comments in the name of conservatism and Christianity, while appreciating her humor. Obviously, it's humor sometimes that I wouldn't personally use. But she comes out preaching the gospel. I mean, it's kind of extraordinary. So I'm going to get into that and play a little bit more of the clip where they Britt Hume and Bill O'Reilly, talk about true and false conversion. It's remarkable. Let me go to the phones. Julie in High Point, thanks for calling today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You bet.
I called in because I think it's so critical that we have actual free speech in this society. I think one of the reasons we're seeing the downfall in our freedom here in America is because we are losing free speech. It's absolutely critical that we continue to support free speech and allow everybody with every diverse opinion that they have to have free speech. Otherwise, we're built on nothing. I think, you know, one of the strongest tenets of Christianity is free speech, freedom to believe and live and do as we think is best.
All right, so your issue is that Christianity is becoming increasingly marginalized. Our free speech is being taken away, but if we followed Christian principles, we'd allow free speech for all sides. So it's when those principles are being removed, then we're the first to feel it.
Yeah, we can't remove it for anybody. I mean, whoever believes what they believe, we can't remove it for them, because then we're putting ourselves above them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's wrong. That's wrong according to God's word.
Got it.
We're all made the same. We all have the same value to God, and we have to give that to others.
All clear. Hey, Julie, thanks for the call and the wise comments. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We come back. I'm going to give you some of Ann Coulter's gospel preaching comments and tell me if you agree with her theology or not. Share with you a case that's going to the Supreme Court that deals with these very religious freedoms, and then play the rest of the clip from Bill O'Reilly and Britt Hume. Stay with us, friends. We'll be right back. Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you back home in the greater Charlotte area. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can email me directly at Dr. Brown, that's Dr. Brown, at askdrbrown.org. Okay, we've been talking about Britt Hume's comments on Fox News Sunday, just a little over a week ago now, that Tiger Woods needs Christianity, that Britt Hume understood that Tiger Woods was a Buddhist, didn't know how serious he was as a Buddhist, but said, look, the horrific destruction of his life, I mean, it's obviously cost him tens of millions of dollars, his sexual scandal, tens of millions of dollars in endorsements. I had read that the companies that had been using him, their stockholders, it could cost them in the billions, 12 billion plus. I mean, insane figures. But Britt Hume rightly said he thinks that the biggest issue to Tiger Woods is the potential loss of his family and obviously reputation. Said that, that Buddhism doesn't offer the story of redemption, the forgiveness, the transformation that Christianity does. And Britt Hume encouraged Tiger Woods to go in this direction. So Bill O'Reilly, Tiger Woods are discussing this. We'll go back to the phones in a moment. But I want you to hear the rest of their interaction. This is from January 4th. It's absolutely fascinating to me.
Woods badly needs.
Now, if he does go that route, then he would be accused of, you know, remember in the Bill Clinton years when he got in trouble, he had the Bible and Jesse Jackson and they were praying and, you know, wouldn't America...
Yeah, but that's true, Bill, and that wouldn't be, and that wasn't the first time. Remember Chuck Colson, who was one of the leading lights of Watergate, if you will.
But he made a true conversion.
He did. What I'm saying is if Tiger Woods were to make a true conversion, we would know it. It would show through in his being. And he would know it above all. And he would feel the extraordinary blessing that would be. And it would shine because he is so prominent. It would be a shining light, and I think it would be a magnificent thing to witness.
Now, what kind of reaction did you get when you said that? Did you get a lot of letters and emails and things?
I got some letters and emails from people who are like me or who are believers who said, well, great, wait on, right on, way to go. I've heard a lot of unfavorable comment from people who claimed that I was a pompous jerk who had no business mouthing off on the subject and that I shouldn't have belittled the Buddhist faith and so on. I really wasn't trying to deliver
no,
a mini...
No, I don't think so either. What do you think drives the negative comments about, Buddhism aside, I don't think you were trying to denigrate Buddhism, but what do you think drives the negative comments about Christianity?
It has always been a puzzling thing to me. The Bible even speaks of it, you speak the name Jesus Christ, and I don't mean to make a pun here, but all hell breaks loose. And it has always been thus. It is explosive. I didn't even say the name in that way. I simply spoke of the Christian faith, but that was enough to trigger this reaction. It triggers a very powerful reaction in people who do not share the faith and who do not believe in it.
All right.
All right, that was absolutely amazing to hear that interaction, especially when they recognize the difference between true and false conversion. The difference between true and false conversion. Chuck Colson had a true conversion. Now, is this the type of stuff that should be going on a secular news broadcast? Would you be offended if they were talking about Islam like this? And you found out that one of the hosts had converted to Islam years back and said, I think what Tiger Woods needs is Islam. Or is this just a matter of, hey, freedom of speech? Let people say what they want to say. And the hostile reaction is because you can't say not Jesus. Anything but Jesus. Talking about God in general or spirituality in general or religious faith in general, that's okay. But Jesus, you mention that name, and like Britt Hume said, all hell breaks loose against you. 866-34-TRUTH. Jeanette in High Point, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Well, you know, I'm personally just really proud that Britt Hume would speak his mind. I mean, he was speaking on a conservative TV program, and in my mind, many, if not most, conservatives are people of faith. He also wasn't personally proselytizing Tiger Woods. He was giving his opinion. And the liberal media gives their opinion all the time. So I think that what Britt Hume said, and even given the fact that Buddhism is supposed to be a philosophy rather than a faith, I mean, there's, to me, he should not have been called down. But, of course, any excuse the liberal media has, they are going to come against Christians.
Now, Jeanette, do you think that on a regular basis the liberal media could bash religion, bash Christianity, and nobody even bats an eyelash?
Oh, absolutely. And we have sat back and let it happen. I don't know why. I think we're finally beginning to sit up and say, hey, this is enough. But we have let it happen for so long, and it's a demonic thing. It has to be. There's no other reason why only Christianity gets this kind of attention.
Hey, Jeanette, thanks for your observations. I'm sure a whole lot of our listeners agree with you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Let me read a little more of this column from Ann Coulter. Look, I admire the sharpness of her wit, the quickness of her responses. I appreciate many of the conservative things that she holds to and different religious things that she said. My own approach to living out the gospel in terms of speaking publicly and addressing issues obviously has a different tone than hers, okay? And, of course, she's got a much bigger listening audience when she writes or appears on TV, etc. But I just want you to hear a little bit more of this. She's talking about the attacks on Britt Hume, and the column is called, If You Can Find a Better Deal, Take It. So this is what Ann Coulter says. She talks about David Schuster invoking the separation of church and television, and she said a phrase that also doesn't appear in the Constitution. And she said that he bitterly complained that Hume had brought up Christianity out of the blue on a political talk show. Why on earth would Hume mention religion, she says, while discussing a public figure who had fallen from grace and was in need of redemption and forgiveness? Obviously being a little sarcastic here. Boy, talk about coming out of left field. What religion, what topic induces this sort of babbling idiocy? Most perplexing was columnist Dan Savage's indignant accusation that Hume was claiming that Christianity, quote, offers the best deal. It gives you the get-out-of-adultery free card that other religions just can't. And Ann Coulter says, in fact, that's exactly what Christianity does. It's the best deal in the universe. I know it seems strange that a self-described atheist and a radical sex advice columnist faggot, that's what he calls himself, like Savage, would miss the central point of Christianity, but there it is. God sent his only son to get the blank beaten out of him, die for our sins, and rise from the dead. If you believe that, you're in. Your sins are washed away from you. Sins even worse than adultery because of the cross in the Ann Coulter column. Quotes Colossians 2:14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. She writes, surely you remember the cross, liberals, the symbol banned by ACLU, lawsuits from public property throughout the land. And then she said, Christianity is simultaneously the easiest religion in the world and the hardest religion in the world. She makes it clear that you can receive instant forgiveness. John 3:16 is quoted, Ephesians 2:8, grace by faith, Romans 6:23. I mean, it's extraordinary. But then she says it's also the hardest religion in the world because if you believe Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead, you have no choice but to give your life entirely over to him. This is Ann Coulter. No more sexual promiscuity, no lying, no cheating, no stealing, no killing, inconvenient old people or unborn babies, no doing what all the other kids do, and no more caring what the world thinks of you. Because as Jesus warned in a prophecy constantly fulfilled by liberals, the world will hate you. He said, your sins are forgiven, slate's wiped clean, it's the best deal, you don't deserve it. Wow. All right, we'll talk about it. Jennifer in Winston-Salem, you're up next. An important announcement coming your way on the other side of the break. God of light, thanks so much, friends, for being with us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed, delighted, as always, to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call, 866-34-3483. 348-7884. Online, Dr. Brown. It's Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org. Tomorrow, in case you're not aware or if you forgot, tomorrow I will be debating former professional golfer and evangelical author Kermit Zarley, who has written a major book and tried to create a real media buzz about it, got a lot of interest in the subject. A book that denies the deity of Jesus, a book that denies that the Son of God is eternally God. So Kermit and I will be debating that tomorrow. It'd be a great day to send in some email questions for me or for Kermit. So again, you can do that at Dr. Brown at AskDrBrown.org. We've been talking about Britt Hume's comments that Tiger Woods needs Christianity, that the redemption forgiveness that he needs he will not find in Buddhism. Many people have been so proud of Britt Hume for speaking out. Bill O'Reilly and Britt Hume discussed it and said, yeah, what he needs is a true conversion like Chuck Colson had. Just kind of amazing discussion to hear taking place. And look, if you were talking about a religion that offered Eastern meditation and certain principles, well, you'd think of Buddhism or Hinduism rather than Christianity or some kind of transcendental meditation type thing. When you're talking about someone's destroyed their lives and needs a message of forgiveness and supernatural empowerment to be transformed, that's the gospel. And yet the flack has been intense. So we've been asking, is it because the world hates Jesus? Is it because most of the media is liberal? Would we have responded the same way if someone was saying Tiger Woods should become a Muslim or a Hindu, or what he needs is atheism? Would there have been an outcry from Christians if that took place? 866-34-TRUTH. Jennifer in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling today.
Thank you. Wow, there's so much I could say. I could hardly get my breath to run to get the phone.
I understand.
I guess what I would like to say, and of course this is only a particle of the issues, I just sent a text to a friend this morning. I'm just curious, how is it that the atheists and the agnostics and the people who are so offended by religion and religious discussion, how is it they don't take a lesson from that notable atheist Voltaire, who said, "I may not agree with what you say, but I would defend to the death your right to say it." It seems like that's lacking. And if a person who is seeking the truth, I think has to be open to discussion. And I know that that's maybe a little aside from, you know, Britt Hume and Tiger Woods, but I think Britt was saying what he believes, and I don't really see that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, the question is, okay, it's a secular news broadcast, conservative news show, but where is religious speech forbidden? And aren't there differences between world religions that are known and accepted? I mean, what's the big deal about talking about it? You know, and here's the other thing. You've got all these other secular stations, whether it's the main channels or other cable channels that are thoroughly secular, and they may have show after show bashing Christianity, bashing religious faith, always making followers of Jesus look like fanatics and weirdos, etc. I've focused on looking at what the media has done in terms of homosexual issues, and when people claim to have changed and come out of homosexuality through faith in Jesus, they're always mocked and ridiculed, and they didn't really, and they're actually going back to their old lifestyle and using religion as a crutch. So, I mean, it seems that stuff is okay, but the moment you say something positive about the gospel, you get crucified for it, so to say.
Well, exactly, and as far as religious speech, you know, flying planes into the World Trade Center is religious speech, and I might say it's hate speech. So, you know, there's a time to be silent, and there's a time to speak. And I think we're a little behind on the time to speak. I think we're behind. I think Britt Hume is okay. I think what he did is good. Not perfect, because none of us are. But if that's what he believes, he communicated his faith, and I think that was genuine, and I think it was great.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Jennifer, I'm with you. Thanks for getting your thoughts together so clearly. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, when you have a world in which terrorists are attacking you, blowing themselves up to kill innocent people. We can't even lift our voices to recommend that someone believes and that follows the gospel. I'm going to go back to the phones in a moment, but there's a tremendous article. It's from December 16th, and the Washington is it the Examiner, or the Washington Examiner. Alan Sears, who's the president of the Alliance Defense Fund, talks about religious freedom being at stake in a Supreme Court case. What's becoming increasingly common is that on college campuses, if you have a Christian group, you can be defunded by the campus or not recognized by the campus unless you say, okay, we will put in our constitution that our Christian club can have a non-Christian leader or a non-Christian voting member. And Alan Sears starts his article by saying, think of it this way. Should a young Democrats club on a university campus be compelled to elect Republican officers? Should a student chapter of PETA be forced to be led by an ardent hunter and taxidermist? If you say no, you're one up on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, which ruled in a crucial case earlier this year that Christian clubs on university campuses forfeit official recognition unless they're open to non-Christian leaders and voting members. What do you think of that? This case is actually going to the Supreme Court. Okay, back to the phones. Bobby in High Point, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
This Brit Hume, I watched part of his program. I had missed it when the first time I did caught it on a replay. And he was witnessing for Christ because he said his own son, 11 years ago, took his own life.
Yes.
And thank God I've never had to deal with that. But a few years back, we lost 3 members of our family within 3 months. And it was just really, really hard. And I don't mean it was aunts and uncles. I mean, one was a husband, one was a 52-year-old sister-in-law that died with breast cancer, and my daddy. Well, I've told different people, you felt like you were being smacked down every time you get up. And I thought, well, where else are you going to turn other than Jesus Christ? And what you were talking about a while ago about allowing these non-believers to be, did you say be teachers in
a Christian club at a university,
okay,
that the court says you have to allow a leader or a voting member to be non-Christian. If you say the Christian club has to have Christian leaders, then you won't be recognized by the university.
Well, you know, that really, it angers me, but I thought, okay, maybe these non-believers that want to get in there and warp the minds of some of your young people, maybe some of these young people have been taught well enough at home and been in a Bible-believing church. Maybe then they can witness to these atheists, is what I call them.
Hey, Bobby, got to run. We got a break here. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, by all means, anyone can come and attend a Bible study at a Christian club on a university. By all means, reach out. But when you say that the governing members don't have to be Christian.
Send the fire today.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, friends. Michael Brown here with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, email me at drbrown@askdrbrown.org. Remember, tomorrow I'll be debating Kermit Zarley, former PGA player, evangelical author, who has now come out publicly denying the deity of Jesus in a major book that he's written. So we'll be discussing those issues tomorrow, and good time to tell your friends to tune in. Today we focused on the issue of Brit Hume's comments about Tiger Woods needing Christianity, and Bill O'Reilly and Brit Hume talking about the need for a true conversion like Chuck Colson had, and the outcry that's brought about in the secular media. So just getting your thoughts, feedback on that. I want to continue in a moment telling you about the case that's coming to the Supreme Court, Christian Legal Society versus Martinez. It centers, as Alan Sears writes, on the contention by administrators at Hastings College of the Law in San Francisco that a campus chapter of the Christian Legal Society a nationwide association of Christian lawyers, judges, law students, and professors, is discriminating against people on the basis of religion because the chapter requires its elected officers and official members to sign a statement of faith embracing Christian theology and behavior. Duh. Well, of course it does. It's a Christian organization, just like a Muslim organization was, or a Jewish organization would, or as Alan Sears said, if you got Young Democrats Club on the university campus, should they be compelled to elect Republican officers, or should a student chapter of PETA, animal activist groups, be forced to be led by an ardent hunter and taxidermist? Of course not. But amazingly, but not surprisingly, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit said no, the Christian clubs are discriminating based on religion, unless they're open to non-Christian leaders and voting members. Absolutely absurd, preposterous, ridiculous. All right, more on that story in a moment. Kevin in Boonville, thanks for calling today.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Great, thanks, Kevin.
My comment is that, you know, we have a lot of people out here that are, you know, defending Christians' rights and, you know, worried about Christians' rights and everything, but I believe as persecution arises and the church gets ready to go underground, as it's always had to do with when it flourished, you know, and, you know, with the end times coming, that we're just going to have to be ready to speak anytime we have a chance to speak out for Christ. And, you know, be ready for persecution, be ready, you know, to possibly die for what you, you know, what you say, and that it's going to get worse, it's not going to get better, and that, you know, be prepared, because it's coming, and, you know, we have to be bold in these last days, or we won't get a chance to speak, because, you know, the world is crying out, the gays are all crying out, the liberals are all crying out, and we've been silent for too long anyway, so I think that it's time to get bold and not worry about if it's politically correct, if it's appropriate, if it's, you know, according to the law. I mean, we have to obey God rather than man.
Mm. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate the call. You know, in point of fact, regardless of what's coming next, regardless of what the next years hold, the New Testament faith is very different from a lot of what we're used to in North America. The call to count the cost and follow Jesus presupposes that there's going to be opposition. And Jesus said that the world would love us if we were of the world, because the world loves its own. But if we walked as Jesus walked, which is not being mean-spirited or arrogant or judgmental, but living holy, dedicated, consecrated lives with different goals and going against the grain of this society, we'd be hated the way he was hated. Paul said that everyone who lives a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. Why should it be different for us? So you're absolutely right. We need to examine our lives. We need to ask ourselves whether we're really ashamed of Jesus, whether we're trying to save our own lives, or whether we're willing to follow him. And it's either or. And I'm sure the dividing line is coming soon one way or the other.
I agree totally.
All right.
Appreciate your show.
Kevin, God bless you. Thanks so much. You know, I mentioned it previously, the idea that our freedom of speech could be taken away is bogus. No one could stop you from speaking. Now, there could be consequences. Our true religious freedoms could be taken away. In other words, we could be punished for doing things that we can do freely today, but we can still do them. In other words, a law could be passed that if I said certain things on this broadcast, I would have to go off the air, or I could potentially go to jail. But you can't stop me from speaking. The question is, would I be willing to speak and lose certain things in this world? That's a question that's supposed to be at the beginning of our faith in God. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we stand up for what's right. We fight for true freedoms for all people as per our Constitution. But we bow down to one God and one God only. We'll be back. Flying by once again. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today. Okay, just a reminder, tomorrow, God willing, I'll be debating Kermit Zarley on the deity of Jesus. Is the Son of God truly eternal God? And God willing, January 26th and 27th, Dr. James White and I will be debating the issue of Calvinism. If you're not familiar with Dr. White, he is a foremost Calvinist apologist, as well as a strong co-worker, Christian apologist in so many areas that he and I share in common. So the areas that divide us, Calvinism, etc., are tremendously minor compared to the areas that join us together. And I'm so pleased that Dr. White took the initiative to contact me when I was getting ready to contact him to talk about doing the debate. So looking forward to those January 26th and 27th. Okay, let me just read the end of Alan Sears' article about religious freedom at stake in Supreme Court case. This is the case Christian Legal Society versus Martinez that will be going to the Supreme Court, where the court will decide whether or not a Christian group is required to have non-Christian leaders and voting members. Alan Sears writes, as Christian beliefs stand in ever starker contrast to the campus culture, it has become academic de rigueur to punish the free association of Christian students and the free expression of their ideas on campus. The persecution ranges from the simple cold shoulder denials of official recognition. This has happened, by the way, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, University of Wisconsin. It ranges from that to denials of rooms to meet in and of the right to advertise Christian student events, to campus police breakups of Christian gatherings. This is real life. This stuff's actually happening. Threatened arrests of students expressing their faith, and even death threats from fellow students against Christians who persist in sharing their beliefs in the academic marketplace of ideas. The High Court's newly announced intention to hear the Martinez case has profound implications for the religious freedom of students on American college and university campuses. The importance of this case is twofold. First, Alan Sears says the Constitution protects the rights of private student groups to select their message and their officers. The Supreme Court needs to rule emphatically against the renegade disregard the universities have shown these freedoms, which the First Amendment was meant to guarantee. Second, universities are doing a tragic disservice to students, the future leaders of America, by training them to believe that it's appropriate for government officials to coerce and ostracize private organizations in order to conform to the prevailing orthodoxy that rules most college campuses today. The constitutional protections of free speech, free assembly, and conscientious religious expression still apply in an academic environment increasingly controlled by leftist philosophy and the legal hyperventilations of political correctness. They should, and for precisely that reason. I want to encourage you, if you're listening to me and you're involved in a campus ministry, stand up boldly and clearly for Jesus and unashamedly stand up for your faith and make it known in the appropriate context. And if you suffer for it, first rejoice and then take a stand all the more clearly. And if unrighteous things are done, let's stand for righteousness. There are legal organizations that will gladly back your true rights and freedoms. By the way, the Alliance Defense Fund has had case after case, I mean dozens, on campuses they've taken up where freedoms have been removed. And thus far, 100% of the time, they have won. So there's an irrational attack coming against the gospel, coming against the Christian faith, coming against the name of Jesus. It always has the same ultimate spiritual source, namely the devil. People are not our enemies. Let us win them over through grace. Let us win them over through relational love. Let us win them over through prayer. Let us win them over through the power of the gospel. Let us win them over through the name of Jesus. And if they come against us, we bless them. And perhaps that can win them over as well. Friends, stand strong and do not be ashamed of Jesus. Back with you tomorrow.
This is the Truth Radio Network.